Let's call upon our God now in prayer as we ask for his blessing upon his word. Let's pray. O Lord, we give you thanks today for your word. Thank you that for that word which we've already heard. We pray for your blessing upon the reading and proclamation of it for the rest of this day. Lord, you are the Lord of light. May your light shine through the work of the word and your spirit, ever changing our hearts and our inclinations, as well as our habits, working in us, Lord, that change in our desires. For we know that your word is a double-edged sword, piercing even to the very center of our being. So wash our thoughts thoroughly, we pray, with the blood of your Son and his merits. Also grant to us your blessing as we look to your word today. Provide us with what we stand in need of, that we would have concentration and an ability to grow in our faith. Lord, we pray this all with the Spirit's blessing upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to turn your Bibles now to the book of Ephesians as we continue in our series. We're nearing the end, up to verses 10 to 20 of Ephesians 6. That'll be our scripture reading for this morning, as well as our text. We've looked for some time at verses 10 to 12, talking about spiritual warfare, and we move on to see what the apostle instructs with regard to how we are to deal with spiritual warfare. So our scripture reading, again, Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet, feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And that ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. May he bless that in our hearing this morning. Again, our text is Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. As we look at that this morning, I encourage you to have that open before you. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's a war going on right now. It's a long, bitter, bloody battle. Now, you might want peace, you might want it, you know, easy, but if you aren't prepared to fight sin, if you're not ready to battle Satan, then you're doomed. You can't negotiate with him. You're on the front against a great foe. Back in the 1930s, before World War II, this is a bit of British history since our attention lately is upon the Queen's death. The British government was eager to avoid conflict that it stood aback to Adolf Hitler invading one country after another. At that time, Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain boasted of solving disputes by discussion instead of by force of arms, and spoke flattering words of both Hitler and the Italian dictator Mussolini. After the Munich Agreement, when Czechoslovakia was given to Hitler, Neville Chamberlain said, "I believe it is peace for our time. Go home and get a nice, quiet sleep." And the British audience cheered and went their way. But there would be no peace, and no one was going to have a quiet sleep because Hitler was not done. There's only one thing that could be done in this case, and that was to fight. When a tyrant wants to conquer everything he can, there is no peace. There can be no peace. Satan is a tyrant and he wants to conquer everything he can. Satan wants to dominate you and hold you under the power of sin. Satan wants you to die in your sin and be sent to hell with him. He wants people all around you to perish. He wants them believing in false religions. He wants everyone to be at peace with this sinful world. But we cannot be at peace. There can't be peace. We must fight. We're in a spiritual warfare till Jesus comes again. There's a lot more to this fight than just being a nice, tame pussycat. The Bible speaks of Jesus as a lion. And the scriptures also say that the righteous are as bold as a lion. Proverbs 28, verse 1. Every Christian is called to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Thankfully, there are two things that will help us in this fight. The first is the strength beyond our own ability, a divine energy, a power that comes completely outside of ourselves from the living God. And the second is the essential protection, the right gear for the fight. The secret for this battle is not to rely on our own strength and in our own abilities, but it's relying on the Lord's mighty power and those offensive weapons that he gives, especially to us, the Word of God and prayer. And so our focus this morning is on this truth that we just sang in the words of this hymn, put on the gospel armor. And our three points are, first, a particular danger that we're in. Secondly, the panoply for combat for the battle. And then thirdly, the position for the Christian soldiers in this fight. So we look, first of all, at the particular danger. As we've seen so far in our look at this text recently, we have come to it again with that very clear reminder that we are in a particular danger. This particular danger is from the rulers of darkness of this age, the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The Apostle Paul peels back the clouds, as it were, almost like a cloud being rolled like a scroll, and lets us see what is really taking place in the background. There are spiritual forces at work. Now the question is, are we going to be engaged in this warfare? Are we aware of the war? There's a very common scheme or approach that Satan has constantly. One is he removes Christians from this world by killing them through persecution. And the other one is, he removes Christians from the Word by drawing them away. Now, those have been his two tactics for many centuries. Think of history. There's always been the removal of Christians from the world by persecution. Or there has been a removal of the Christian church from the Word and the essentials of the Christian faith and its doctrines. That's why we need to be engaged for the battle. It is of particular concern for us because it means that we are always under attack. When you think of what happens to the church in other parts of the world, as we mentioned last time, this is the devil's work. There have been more professing Christians killed for their faith in Jesus Christ in the last century than in all other centuries combined. We do not know what the future holds for us here in North America, but certainly in places, in parts of Africa, in countries like Nigeria, or South Sudan, or Sudan itself, or in parts of China, or Indonesia, and in India, as well as Pakistan, Christians are being slaughtered for their faith in Christ. Whereas in the West, in the last century, that would include North America, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand, he has put the church into sleep with false doctrine. He draws the church and its members away from the Word. In some cases, the church is no longer the church because it has lost its distinctiveness. It looks no different from the world. You can't tell the difference. That's why we cannot stand alone. You cannot be a lone ranger. We must stand together as believers. And you notice that the Apostle Paul here, he's not addressing the culture or the society. No, he's talking to the church. We're to be united as soldiers in the battlefield. As we just sang in the words of that hymn, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army he shall lead till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Reminds us that the church is victorious in Jesus Christ. In Christ, we're not on the losing side. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. The gates of hell, as Jesus said, will not prevail against the church. And that's a promise that God has made for us. The gates of hell are undefensive because of the power of Christ. It reminds us of a hymn that we sang two Sundays ago, where it says, the church shall never perish. Her dear Lord to defend, to guide, sustain, and cherish, is with her to the end. Though there be those who hate her and strive to see her fall, against both foe and traitor, she ever shall prevail. Though with a scornful wonder men see her sore oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping, their cry goes up, how long? And soon the night of weeping will be the morn of song. Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till with the vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. Amazing how these old timeless hymns capture the biblical truth for us from Scripture in such a powerful way. But what are we to do in the face of such particular danger? How must we conduct ourselves? Well, you notice that the apostle mentions not just once, not just twice, but four times he says, we're to stand. We're to stand in the Lord. We're to stand against the devil. We're to stand against his schemes. And that's why we need to ask that question again. Are you engaged in the battle? Are we Christian soldiers going into battle? Like we were just saying, stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. The day, the noise of battle, the next, the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Well, leads us to our second point, which is the panoply for combat. It's what we sing also in another hymn, actually. Hymn 540, take to arm for the fight the panoply of God. And maybe you're wondering yourself, what in the world are we talking about when we say that? Well, it's a good question. Panoply is the Greek word for complete. So we have a complete set of armor. And the picture that the Apostle Paul gives us, which is familiar to us, we've looked at this a number of years ago for our home visitation, so it should not be something that is that escapes our memory. The picture here is of a heavily armed soldier. And it shows us that we can only be strong in the Lord. He gives the full resources to believers so that they can successfully wage spiritual battle. We don't fight for spiritual victory, no. But it's from Christ's victory that we're able to move forward. So this is the armor that Christ has already engaged in the battle. And that's predicted as we think of the book of Isaiah, when it predicts what Christ would do. It speaks in a few places there about this. Isaiah 59, verse 17 says, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. We see it again in Isaiah 11, verse 5, where it says, righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. So all this Christ has done for us in his battle against Satan and defeating the foe, and now he passes that on. We're divinely supplied. And there are six main pieces here. The belt, the breastplate, the sandal, the shield, the helmet, and the sword. We could look at these in great detail. There are, of course, many works that are like that. William Grinnell, his very famous book, over 1,700 pages, dealing with each piece of armor. Dr. Lloyd-Jones preached 26 sermons on spiritual warfare and then 26 sermons on the Christian soldier. This is just going to be one sermon on all the armor. I don't want to go all gray before I finish this series on Ephesians. What do we need? We need to gird our waist with the truth. This is one of the first things that a soldier put on. It was a leather belt which had metal plates attached to it. It is a form of protection, and we need this in our battle. We need the truth, because Satan is a liar. He's the father of lies. He's constantly attacking us with untruths, even getting us to doubt our salvation. So we need the truth. We need to be people of the truth. We need to know the truth and to be protected against the deceiving and lying of others. We also need the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate for a Roman soldier was a tough leather smock which covered a good part of his torso in the front as well as the back. It was often reinforced with metal. In the same way, we need righteousness. That too is not our own. It is God's. He clothes himself in righteousness according to the metaphors again in the book of Isaiah. And that's what we need for ourselves, is he's given that to us by faith in him. We need to be made righteous or declared righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. And again, this is needed because Satan is going to convince us that God has not forgiven us if we've committed a terrible sin. But God's righteousness is able to persuade us of his grace in our lives. His righteousness calls us to righteous living. We're to be a righteous people, just like we're to be a truthful people. When we have on that belt of truth, we're to be a righteous people. And we also need to have our feet bound with the gospel of peace. The Roman soldier wore sandals that were attached to his feet and ankles. It gave him good footing because a man fighting for his life doesn't want to slip and fall. In the same way, we need our feet bound with the gospel of peace. And again, there's a hint of this in Isaiah 42 where it says, how beautiful are what? The feet of those who proclaim the gospel of peace. That's a part of the good news of salvation, the peace of God in Jesus Christ. There's nothing that's able to destroy that peace of God for a child of God. No matter how fierce the conflict or how difficult the battle, there's nothing that can separate us from this peace. And we also need the shield of faith with which we are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. In the past, many years ago, battles were fought with fire through flaming arrows. And no doubt you've seen this. You've seen pictures of this or you've seen video of this. Satan's attacks are like this. His flaming arrows are his acts of persecution. Yet we can counter these arrows by faith. It is that shield that can extinguish those flying arrows if there are attacks. How can they be overcome? It's by putting our faith in Christ. If there's a fear of the future, we can be assured that our Lord is our strength and our tower. If we take God at his word and accept his promises by faith, God will help us. He'll equip us. He'll give us what we need. We can face these attacks through the power of Christ. And we also need the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. We need to think in terms of our salvation when it comes to attacks. It's a defense of the head against false doctrines. For the helmet is for the head. In times of difficulty, affliction, and distress, it covers the head in the day of battle when engaged with Satan, who is the enemy of our souls. And we need also the sword to fend off the attacks of the evil one, the sword of the Spirit. Jesus Christ himself used the sword. You remember when he was attacked, when he was being tempted? How did he deal with Satan's temptations? With Scripture. He quoted Scripture. We're to be well acquainted with the Scriptures so that we won't be easily led astray by the tempter. We should be using it, God's Word, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness. When we're familiar with the Word and busy in prayer, not only for ourselves, but for all Christians, and especially for ministers of Christ, we can be made strong by him. His word is powerful. Again, think of another hymn that we sing about that. We sang that last week, actually. 244. That word above all earthly powers, wrote Martin Luther, one little word shall fell him. That's how powerful God's word is. Well, it leads us to our third point, and that is the position of Christian soldiers. And here we focus again on the last two weapons that are important in our position. One is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. This is what helps you in this particular danger, this cosmic conflict that we are in. Do you have a firm grip on the Word? Do you have a firm grip on the hilt of the Scriptures? Or is Satan successfully separating you from the Word? The book Pilgrim's Progress, that allegory written by John Bunyan, does a masterful job of this. It's probably the most familiar scene within the whole book. Christian, as you may remember, has his full armor on as he's facing Apollyon, the destroyer, the angel of the bottomless pit. And there's that scene where Apollyon is throwing his fiery darts while Christian is holding up his shield. But Christian, as you may remember, stumbles. And Apollyon takes advantage of this and he wounds him. And he tires him out and attacks him for half a day. So Christian is almost about to give up. But as God would have it, while Apollyon was drawing himself up for that final blow in order to make an end to this good man, Bunyan says, Christian quickly reaches for his sword, grasped it, and said, quoting from Micah 7, verse 8, "Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise again." And with that, he gives a thrust into Apollyon's side, giving him a fatal wound. Christian saw this and struck him again and said, quoting Romans chapter 8, verses 37, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And with that, Apollyon flees with his dragon's wings and spread out and flying away. That's why we need to ask that question. Is Satan having success with you, separating you from the Word? You need your sword, man. You need your weapon. We don't have magical incantations. We don't have some crazy formula for exorcism. We don't have some secret for spiritual warfare, as if it's only for some elite Christians, some special Christians only. No, it's for all of us. You have the Word of God. As 1 Peter 5 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And it goes on to say, "Resist him." James 4, verse 8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." If you resist Satan with the Word of God, he will flee from you. That's what our Master did when he faced temptation, as we just mentioned. He used the sword of the Spirit. And also prayer. We need to be in prayer. For prayer is a secret weapon. It has no equal on earth. Prayer is necessary for ourselves to keep ourselves watchful and help us persevere. Verse 18 says here. And you think of the Apostle Paul, who calls the church here to pray for him, that utterance would be given to him so that he could be bold. You know the story of Spurgeon when he was asked for the success of his ministry. He said, "It is the prayers of my people Do you pray for missionaries and their families? Do you pray for the work of the elders and the deacons? Do you pray for the work of God's word here? God's servants are not supermen. Left to ourselves, we're weak. We can't persuade men and women to believe and to bring that word. We need boldness. We need the Spirit's anointing. We're so helpless apart from the word, from prayer. You think of how revivals have broken out throughout the years. It's always been these two simple things: prayer and the word of God. The preaching of the word. The day will come when Jesus Christ will return. He will be arrayed for battle. Isaiah 11 says he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. And it's then that Satan will be cast into hell forever and tormented day and night. And yet the Lord calls us his saints. We will rather be able to enter his kingdom. He will call us his soldiers. Hopefully he'll call us his soldiers who are faithful to him, though we were tempted, though we were faced with evil days. And so can you see this morning what a blessing it is to be a soldier of Christ? What a blessing. May he receive the praise for strengthening us and for equipping us for this warfare. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious God in heaven, Lord, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for the power that it has and for the calling that you've given us to be Christian soldiers, marching into battle. Help us, Lord, to be faithful, not to be lone rangers, but to be fighting side by side with one another, not against each other, but, Lord, facing this sinful world with that hope of the gospel. We pray also that you will uphold your servants, ministers of the gospel, our missionaries as well, that you will uphold them for the calling that you've given. Help us, Lord, to be a people of prayer as well. That we be known, O Lord, for our prayers. Grant to us your blessing, we pray. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.